2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I do have one of these slips with me this morning, and this is what we're going to talk about. I asked your pastor, I said, what would you like for me to preach on? I know most preachers say whatever God leads you to preach on, but the pastor knows the needs more than I do. And he knows that I preach a lot about grace giving or faith promise, missionary giving. And so this morning I want to talk to you about the grace of God. I heard your preacher say something a while ago about God's grace and faith. You cannot separate the two. The grace of God, for by grace are you saved through what?
Faith.
There it is. Grace and faith. And true missionary giving, it takes the grace of God, but also takes faith on our part. Now, let me ask you one question. This slip of paper that you filled out, does it take God's grace for you to do it, first of all, above your tithes and offerings? And secondly, does it take faith for you to give it? If it does not take faith, it's not faith promise giving. If you read chapter 8 and chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, 7 times, God uses the word grace there. Every time it refers to the grace of God doing something through us over and above what we can do ourselves in the area of giving. And this morning I just want to go through some verses. The way I like to preach is to go verse by verse. And I want to share some things with you about this matter of faith, promise, missionary giving. And this morning I want you to think about something. First of all, if you're here, understand that one time a year this church has a month of missionary speakers come in. And so, and they take up one time a year, the faith promise giving. It's not for the church. It's not for anything around here. It's to help missionaries go around the world. Amen. And your church actually picked up my wife and I, and we greatly appreciate that. And so we are missionaries also out of your church that you support. Everywhere we go, everybody we lead to the Lord, you have a part in that. And somewhere today, somebody is going to receive Christ as Savior because you prayed, you gave last year to help send missionaries there to tell them about Jesus Christ. As long as our brother's been in Newfoundland, I know he's been digging through the snow, but one by one by one, God has used them to lead people to Christ. You had a part in that. You may be in this life, you'll not meet them, but won't it be wonderful at the judgment seat of Christ when they come up to you and say thank you for sending a missionary there to tell us about Christ. Even though you didn't know us, you loved us enough to give, to help somebody come and tell us about Jesus Christ. That's what missionary giving is all about, to be able to fulfill the command of Jesus Christ to go into Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You see, that track is our Jerusalem. It's passing it out here, giving out the word of God. But when you give to missions, you're helping this church to be able to support missionaries to reach people around this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you come to chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, Paul is taking a turn in his discourse. 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians basically deals with the carnality of the local church, the misabuse of gifts. But now he comes in and he changes focus. And now he says, get your eyes off yourself, and let's get it on others. Real Christianity is not about us. Real Christianity is about God using us to be a help and a blessing to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And Paul says in verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians, he says, moreover, brethren, we do with the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. He said, I want you to be a witness what God did concerning his grace in the churches of Macedonia. Now, who were the churches of Macedonia? The churches of Thessalonica, the churches of Philippi. These were the poorest, most persecuted churches in all the Word of God. But yet he says, I want you to see what God did in these churches concerning God's grace. Now, that automatically tells me something. God has a plan of reaching the world, and it involves the local church. I believe that God has ordained the local church to get the gospel out around the world. And if I'm going to be a scriptural Christian, then I need to be a part of a fundamental gospel preaching, soul winning, can I say it? Baptist church. Amen. to be able to reach this world with the gospel of Christ. That's the reason God saved us, to reproduce after our own kind. I mean, study the seed in the Word of God. The Word of reproduce after our own kind. And he says, I want you to see what God did concerning grace giving in the poorest, most persecuted churches in all the Word of God. So God has a plan, even a financial plan. What's that financial plan? Here it comes. There's four levels of giving in the Word of God. Number one, there's those who give below the tithe. God calls them a what? Come on, say it. Thief, a robber, a crook. I come from West Virginia originally. How have we robbed you, Lord? In tithes and in offerings. If you're here this morning, you're saved and on your way to heaven, and you give anything less than your tithe to the Lord, then according to the Bible, you're stealing, you're robbing from God. Because God uses, and that's the second level of giving, something called a tithe. 10% of everything we have belongs to the Lord. And so you say, well, Brother Burge, don't you know that we're living under the age of grace today and we're not required to give the tithe because it was given under law? That's not true. Read your Bible. The tithe was established by God before the law even came into existence. And God said, here's what settles it for me. God says the tithe is the Lord's. It's not mine, it's God. You got a wallet on you? Brother, you got a wallet on you? I like this guy. I think I'm losing hair and I get around here, man. And he talks with his hands. My wife does that too. What did he just give me? His wallet. That's really how I get my faith promise. Thank you, brother. Amen. I want to give him back something. What did I just give him back? His wallet. That's all we do when we tithe. We give back to God what's rightfully his.
Right. Amen.
And so God uses the tithe to take care of the daily administration of that which belongs to him, and that's the local church. Can I say this? You're setting on your tithe. You're reading your Bible by the light of the tithe. The salaries you pay your pastors and staff is by the tithe of God's people. When you go soul winning and doing things in the area, it's through the tithe that God has provided that. And when we fail to tithe as Christians, we're hindering God's program in the local church right here.
Right.
And so that's the reason he puts emphasis upon the tithe. Then there's something in the Bible called an offering. That shows that we're, our tithe shows we're not a crook. But our offering shows we're, this is a hard word for me to say. My lips don't want to move it. Say it. It shows that we're liberal. That's a hard word for me. It shows that we're liberal with what God has given us. And if you read your Bible in the Old Testament, the offerings were for the extra things around local assembly. So that shows our liberality. So our tithe shows we're honest, we're not crooks. Our offering shows that we're liberal, but then there's something in the Bible called grace giving. That's what this is all about. That's what this paper is all about. It's not my tithe, it's not my offering, but it's above my tithes and offerings what I'm going to trust God by faith to be able to give through me to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Birch, I don't have anything. Well, look at verse 2 and 3. Who did he use to be an example of giving? He said, verse 1, Moreover, brethren, we deal with the grace of God bestowed upon the church of Macedonia. Okay. How then in great trial of affliction, abundance of joy, and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of liberality. These were the persecuted Christians in the Bible. These were the ones that saw many of their loved ones die in martyrdom. And those that did not die, they became the poorest of all. They could not find work, could not even find things to take care of their own family sometimes. But yet they had a trust and a faith in God, and God was doing something through them that they didn't have the ability to do it themselves. So God has a plan, but the participants that he uses as an example was the poorest Christians in all the Word of God. Read verse 3. For to their power, the power simply means ability. For to their power, I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing themselves. When that offering plate went by a while ago, and if you put anything less than your tithe, that's giving below your power. When you put your tithe and offering in, that's giving according to your power. But now God wants us to take a step of faith to be able to send missionaries around the world. That's giving above our power. That's trusting God to do something through us that we don't have the ability to do ourselves. Now, I've heard all kinds of preaching on faith promise. I've heard some say that you wait on God to give it to you, then you give it. If I have to wait on God to give it to me before I give it, it does not take faith.
Right.
I've heard others say you give something you don't have. Well, I'm from West Virginia. It's kind of hard for me to figure that out. How do you give something you don't have? Where I come from, you have to steal it. You go to jail for that. No, that's not the way either. The best answer, hey, can I shorten some things for you? The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. You have a Bible question, search the Bible, you'll find the answer. Can I drop down very quickly? Go down to verse number 11, the same chapter. Verse number 11, the same chapter. You see, it takes me, when I do a mission conference, it's usually a five-day conference, and I preach each night, plus two or three times on Sunday. So it takes five or six messages to teach faith promise. But look at verse 11. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that it was the readiness to will, so there may be a performance also, what's those next few words? Out of that which ye have. Out of what you have right now, what's it going to take faith on your part to give to help send missionaries around the world? Read the next verse. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according that a man hath, and not according that he hath not. So where you are right now financially, what's it going to take faith for you to give? The last church I pastored was the largest church in West Virginia, largest Baptist church in West Virginia. It was started in 1842, and no, I was not the founding pastor. Some people think so. They never had a mission conference, so I became the pastor. So the first year I took the church, we had a mission conference. We taught them faith promise. And I taught our people this: everybody can give. And I believe that with all my heart. We had a whole lot of widows in that church. I've never pastored a church where every widow lady that was a member did not tithe. I never remember one that didn't. And so they wanted to give too. But most of them were on this thing in the States called Social Security. I'm past that age, so I understand what it is or what it's not. There's nothing social about it, and there sure ain't no security in it. But they were on fixed income. Some of them, $200 a week, I mean a month. That's about it. And they wanted to tithe. They did. And they wanted to give faith promise too. But it took many of them faith just to give a dollar a week. We had other men in our church, other people in our church had good businesses and made good income. One man came to me. He was not trying to brag or anything. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I need to understand this." He said, "It's not going to take faith for me to give $50, $100 or whatever." He said, "If I'm going to really give by faith, I'm going to have to start out," and he gave a figure. I looked at him and said, "Well, if that's what it's going to take faith for you to give, then that's what you ought to give." So let's suppose, here's a man who has a good job, a family has a good job. They give $100 a week. Here's a widow lady that makes $200. She gives a month. She gives a dollar a week. Who gave the most? They both gave the same. You see, God's not interested in the amount. He wants to see the faith that's involved. Amen. And when we give by faith and trust God, then God will step in and do things that we cannot do ourselves. I was in Arkansas. I preached it. That preacher's going to be here. You need to hear some of these preachers that will be here this week. They'll bless your heart, believe me. Amen. But he's going to be here. He says, "Tell them the sound of faith." Every time I'm there, he says, "Tell them the sound of faith." And so I said, "Okay, here's how you find the sound of faith. Most cards, I say, you start at a dollar. Come to the figure, you know, this is the absolute best that you can do." I mean, that's it. That's the absolute best you can do on a weekly basis. And then go to the next figure. And when you hear the Holy Spirit in your life go, "Whoa!" That's probably where God wants you to start. Because God wants you to trust Him in the area of giving. And so I want to challenge you this. I know some of you have already turned this thing in. But this also has a part about another increase. Why don't you step up and let's just see what God can do in this area of faith promise. Amen. So number one, God has a plan, tithes, offerings, faith promise. Number two, the participants were the poorest people in all the Word of God. But then also notice the purpose. What's the purpose of all this giving? Are we asking to give it to the church? No. Are we asking you to sign your name? No. It's a commitment between you and God. But let me remind you something. The commitment we make to God ought to hold more strength than any commitment we make to anybody else. God says it's better not to make a vow, that's a promise. Not to make a vow and break it. He says he has no pleasure in fools. So make sure that when you make a commitment, you plan on keeping that commitment. So what's the purpose of all this? Look at verse number 4. Praying us with much entreaty. That word praying means they had to beg Paul to take the offering. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, that's the faith promise, and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. You see, the purpose of this is not for your church. It's not for yourself. It's for others. I've been doing this now. Next year will be 40 years of age. So I've been traveling about almost 40 years for Baptist missions. And every week somewhere, I usually do a mission conference. Or most weeks, I'll do a mission conference. So I've been doing this for a long time. And I've been in churches, to be honest with you, that they gave a faith promise commitment. And they didn't use it for missions. Guess what? They wanted me to come back. I would not do it. Because I believe this commitment is not for the church. It's for others. Yeah. And when I give my faith promise, that's the most unselfish giving I can do. Because it's not for me, it's not for the church, but it's for others. Yeah. And so verse 4, they're saying to Paul, Paul, if we don't give it, who else is going to give it? If we don't do it, it's not going to get done. I had the privilege of going into a little country called Moldova right after the Eastern Wall came down. We were the first missionaries in there that they saw in almost 40 years. I mean, we met with the underground church. They've been taking pages out of the Bible and tearing it and passing it underground for years. And we were the first missionaries they saw. Hang on to this. When we went in that Moldova, they didn't have gas stations. We had people brought gas from other countries to fill up our vans. There was no Pepsi-Cola and no Coca-Cola. Only place I've ever been in the world where they didn't have Pepsi-Cola and Coca-Cola. And there was no cults. Baptist was it. That was the first. And so we took the Word of God in and met with the underground church and it was going on. But now guess what? All of a sudden you go to Moldova Day and I can count on that hand the number of independent Baptist missionaries who maybe take away a finger or two because they come and go quickly there. But I do not have enough fingers on my hands, hair on my head to tell you how many cults are there today. If we don't get this, if we don't reach the world with the Word of God, who else is going to do it? Can I ask you a question? Is this the Word of God? My Bible says Holy Bible, King James Version. Inside cover says genuine. I believe it all. Amen. This is God's Word. If we don't reach this world with this book, mark it down, cults will. And they're doing it. They're doing it by leaps and bounds. The fastest growing religion in the United States of America is now the Muslim religion. You fly in Toronto, you think you're in a different world. I mean, it's unreal. God is bringing people to us and we're not even reaching them here. God wants us to reach this world with the gospel of Christ. So the purpose of our missionary giving is not for us, it's for others. And so when I pray and I pray, dear God, above my tithes and offering, what's it going to take faith for me to give? And God lays that figure on my heart. I give it. I trust God for it every week. I have the blessed assurance knowing that that funds by faith, giving by faith, is going to be used to help people in St. John's, to be help people around this world reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, Brother Birch, how did they get started? Look at verse number 5. I'm going to quit. Verse number 5. it says this, and this they did, not as we hope. Paul said, they didn't do as I hoped. They didn't do as I expected, Paul says. But first they gave the what? Their own selves unto the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. Before we can give ourselves to the missionaries, we have to give ourselves to God. Look at me. You've never seen a Baptist preacher. I may have said it last time I was here. I'm not sure. You hardly ever see a Baptist preacher say this. God does not want your money. That's not the purpose of Mission Month. You said, well, you've just been preaching on it. Yeah, I know. But look what it says. And this they did not as we hoped, but first they gave their own selves unto the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Before I can give myself to the missionaries, before I can give my giving to help the missionaries reach this world, I have to give myself to God. My wife will tell you, the biggest fella I ever led to, I mean big fella. I mean, he makes you look small. Talking to Phil in the back. Amen. He was 6'22". I don't know how tall he was approaching 7 foot. But he's about that wide. In order to come through a door, you had to open up both doors when he came. I remember the night I led him to the Lord. He lived in a mobile home. And his wife was almost as large as he was. When they got both at the same end, I think that the trailer tilted just a little bit. His name was Buck. I tried everything that night to lead him to the Lord. I mean, everything was working. And I used to carry a bunch of quarters in my pocket, but I didn't have one. And so I reached in my pocket, and all I had was a nickel. And I said, Buck, I said, Pastor Gene, that's what they called me. I said, Pastor Gene, I want to give you something. I said, I usually have a quarter, but I just want to give you this. He looked at it. I said, I want you to have it as a gift. And he just kind of looked. I said, Buck, I want you to have it. Take it. Give us a gift. He reached out and took it. I said, what'd you do for that? He said, nothing. I said, yes, you did. He said, what'd I do for it? I said, you accepted it. And Buck, that's really what being saved is, accepting what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. And I led him to the Lord that night. In fact, he drilled a hole through that nickel word around his neck. I don't like necklaces on men. But anyway, he wore it around his neck. And people said, what are you wearing that nickel for? He said, Pastor Gene gave it to me, but he also gave me something else that night. He said, I got saved. He used it as a testimony. I remember the night I was going to baptize him. He came down those steps. We didn't have a robe big enough for him. I mean, we had gowns. So he wore his own clothes. And I had another guy going to help me. He looked at him and said, what are you doing here? He said, I'm going to help preacher baptize you. He looked at me and said, hey, preacher, it's just me, you, and I, and Jesus when I got saved. He said, I just want me, you, and Jesus in the water. I said, okay, come on down. West Virginia for you. Amen. So he came down the steps. And our choir was still seated because we were doing baptism before the service started. He started down the steps. I said, look, hey, I said, Buck, you better take a watch off. Might not be Timex. He said, no, got saved. Where my watch? Well, my watch to get baptized. I said, okay, come on. He came down the water. He had a big old bulge in his back pocket. It was his wallet. I said, you better take your wallet out. He said, no, want my wallet to get baptized too? I said, amen. I wish everybody get their wallets baptized. Amen. That's good preaching. He got in the water. I asked him about being saved. He said, yeah. And then he said something to me. I'll say it's true. He said, preacher, I just want to give Jesus all of me. He splashed water out on the choir. I mean, it was a mess. But he had the right motive. He said, I want to give Jesus all of me. Let me ask you a question. When we got saved, we got all of Jesus we'll ever have, because the Holy Spirit of God indwelled us the day we got saved. But the question is, has Jesus got all of you? Well, those teenagers went to camp. You know what you ought to be praying about? How does God want to use my life in the future? I was 16 years of age when God called me to preach. Sat beside my preacher's daughter in church. I ended up marrying her. I never regretted it. Started preaching when I was 17. I know, girls, that's not for you, the preaching part. But God can use you. I look over this crowd. Man, I just I feel like slobbering because I see so much potential here. If people would just yield their lives and say, God, I'm going to give you my life. Whatever you want to do with me, whatever you want to do through me, whatever you want to give through me, I'm going to be willing to let you do it. Here's the key of service of God. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first they gave their own selves unto the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Question for you this morning is this. You know what Jesus has given you, but what have you given back to Jesus? The number one thing he wants more than anything else is sitting where you're sitting and standing where I'm standing. It's us. One question, I'm done. How many of you really want God to use you in a greater way than ever before? Hold up your hand. My hand's up. My hand's up. But I found out over the years it's easy to do this. It's hard to just do this. Say, dear God, here am I. Use me. Now, I know we're in Canada. I know sometimes people say, oh, people don't respond. You all respond the same as they do anywhere. I've learned this. When God speaks, people will respond. And if you really mean business with God and you really want God to use you in a greater way than ever before, we're going to have a special word of prayer at the end. And we're going to ask you to just simply slip out of your seat and come. If there's room to kneel, fine, and just stand here and say, God, with your help, I want you to use me in a greater way than ever before. Whether it's in the area of giving, whether it's in the area of service, maybe God is dealing your heart about some type of full-time ministry, whatever. But whatever God is doing in your life, you want God to do it in a greater way. Would you respond and say, dear God, here am I. I want you to use me. And if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, the greatest day in your life will be the day you've received Christ as your Savior. Please don't leave this building unsaved. Because we have people who can take the Bible and simply show you how to be saved. It's very simple. All you have to do is really tell God that you're a sinner, confess your sin, and by faith, accept the grace of God in your life and accept Christ as your personal Savior, and God will save you. But more than anything, if faith promises is going to be greater this year, it has to start in our lives by giving ourselves to God. Let's all stand our feet, please, everyone standing.